The reading is from Genesis chapter 39, verses 16 to 23. She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. When his master heard the story his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me," he burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did.
I'd like us to look at this picture. Just take a look at the picture. There, I'm not sure if it's clear enough for us. Can we see it clearly? I just maybe ask us if you want to suggest a caption for that picture. Anyone? Draw him in, you said, at the deep end. Okay, assuring. Okay, helping. Anyway, just like this little boy on the diving board, we sometimes, I just want you to look at that picture, we sometimes weigh our faith against fear. When we know the Lord is with us, sometimes it does not suggest that we might not entertain fear in our hearts. Faith against fear. But it is good for us as believers in Christ to trust in God, knowing that He won't let us handle adversity alone. He will always be with us, obeying Him, trusting Him that He is faithful to do what He says He will do. So we are maybe like that little child, and perhaps the dad represents our Heavenly Father. But looking at this picture and then going back to where we read this morning from Genesis 39, I don't know about you, but I have been sort of entertaining some questions within me. I've been asking some questions. Why does Joseph face trials despite God's favor? Why does Joseph go through all those trials, difficulties, temptations, even while he says the Lord was with him? The Lord was with him, and the life that he lived and his presence brought prosperity to his master. Wherever he goes, prosperity, God's favor, yet he went through difficulties. Yet he went through trials and temptations. So I think his life is sort of illustrates a paradox in the Bible. Even though the Lord was with him and consistently favored him, like I said, promoted him from one place to the other, from one stage to the other, yet these challenges threw themselves at him. I just wanted to know that I believe that even in the midst of blessings, life can present hardships. I know you know this. Even in the midst of all the promotions that we might receive, And I imagine, just like me, there isn't a person here who hasn't contemplated these questions at some point in our lives. So in life, we may face difficult times, moments, fear, moments of uncertainty, even adversity sometimes, when they threaten to overwhelm us, challenges, and all those things. But in my life, I have found that challenges are opportunities for growth. Sometimes challenges put me in a place of proper introspection, which will lead to some actions that will bring growth in my life. So I will say that challenges are good. Temptations are good. But during those moments, our trust in God will be put to trial. What we say and how we carry ourselves will be put to trial. Genesis 39, as we finish up reading from 16 to 23, she kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. And then she told her own tale, her own side of the story. She painted up herself as innocent. This Hebrew slave you brought to us has come here to make a sport of us. I don't know about you, but when I was reading this place this morning, I was just saying to myself, why did she suddenly describe her as a Hebrew slave? All the time when she was trying to lure him into temptation, I believe she wasn't describing her as a Hebrew slave. Maybe she called her pet names. Maybe she called her some beautiful names. But this time, she has something else in mind. As soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. Verse 19, when his master heard the story told by his wife, saying, "This is how your slave treated me," he burned with anger. Who wouldn't? He burned with anger. He believed her. He should believe her. But he forgot that this young lad had been faithful before now. He forgot, you know, sometimes when we are faced with feedbacks as leaders, even as political leaders, we might be tempted to just forget about the positive feedbacks we've received and then center on those negative ones, and they weigh us down. He burned with anger. And what did he do? He put him in prison. Now, he already was said to have been promoted because of this man called Joseph. He knew. How did he just suddenly forget? But Joseph knew that the Lord was with him. Now, while Joseph was still in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. That's what I'm talking about. Despite the blessings, the promotions, the favor, this young man faced difficulties. A young man with great promises. He was sold to slavery. His brothers were jealous of him because of the same favor that he got from his dad. When he ended up in Egypt, God was with him also, and he was sold as a household slave. But despite all these circumstances, Joseph remained faithful and diligent. He remained faithful. Temptations, false accusations, but he knew God's presence at each moment. Even while in prison, God was with him. So we too can trust that God is present in our darkest moments. It's difficult sometimes, especially when you are at the center of those difficult moments. It's very difficult for us to believe that God is with us. But sometimes when he delivers us, we will look back and we will see the hands of God. You know, sometimes God takes us through things. He doesn't take us out of those things. You know why? Because he knows the end from the beginning. We can only understand moment by moment, but God understands even the end from even the very beginning. He knows what he wants to achieve in our lives. He knows his purposes for us. And you know, sometimes also we tend to compare ourselves with other people. When we go through such difficult moments and hardship and darkness and moments, we tend to compare with our neighbors. We tend to compare with our friends. Why and me? Am I not like him or her? Why does she, you know, feel like they're having it easy? But sometimes God prepares you because of the weight of the ministry that he has for you, because of what he wants to use you to accomplish. But let me say again, when you are at the center of those moments, it's difficult to understand what I'm saying. It's very difficult to wrap your head around the fact that he is teaching me a lesson. Why me? Why does he have to choose me to teach me a lesson? What happens to other people? Why me? But the Lord loves you anyway, because he wants what he wants to produce in our lives. And you know one thing again? God is sovereign. He knows that whatever I go through is part of his grand design for my life. Sometimes I might say, Lord, I don't want this one. I don't want this one. Just take me from point A to point Z. Just forget about B, C, D, and the rest. God will say, no, you need B in your life. You need C in your life. You need E in your life so that you will be a better person. Because everything that you go through is part of his grand design. Do you believe that? It is part of his grand design. And he also wants to work out patience and perseverance in our lives. Joseph endured these years of hardship, trusting God. And through these difficult moments, he was able to do something in chapter 50, verse 20. And I just want to believe, had it not been that he was faithful through this process, maybe when he faced them for the first time, he would have had retaliatory spirits on his brothers. He would have said, all right, you sold me. Now this is my turn. Now, take him to prison. Take her to prison. But you know what he said? Don't worry. Maybe the Lord prepared this moment beforehand to use me to save life. Do you think without the process he would have said that? No. It took years of preparation under this hard school of the Lord for him to be able to say that in chapter 50, verse 20. Sometimes experience teaches us things that we will know that people that are already coming up will not even have opportunity of knowing. Let's hope in God's promises. Has he promised you anything? Don't lose hope. What did I say? Don't lose hope. Say it again. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. And as you say it, and you are saying to me also, so that I wouldn't lose hope. Don't. It's very easy for us to be tempted to nearly lose hope in anything that we go through in life. So let's cling to God's faithful word, unchanging word during trials. Now let me close by bringing it home a little bit, applying it to our lives. You know, as believers in 21st century Britain, we might encounter various, you know, personal challenges that I've been reflecting on this past week. There are some of the things that we might, maybe like Joseph, we might not be in prison like him. We might not be in Potiphar's house. But as believers these days, we might sometimes face something like spiritual dryness. Spiritual dryness, seasons that our faith will be stagnant and we'll feel that we are not making progress in the spirit. It will seem that our prayer lives are not doing well. It will seem that when people give testimonies of how they've prayed from morning to evening, or how they've done this, or how they've gone out to the street and shared and distributed Bibles, we'll feel that, what am I doing? Times of doubt. And also times of unanswered prayers. There might be some time that our prayers have not really come up the way we wanted them to. We've prayed, we've even fasted sometimes, we've done all we knew we could do, yet it will seem as if God is very difficult. We feel that we are disconnected from God. I don't know about you, but there might be moments that you feel disconnected from God. You feel that, what am I doing? I feel dry in my life. And also, there might be some times of loneliness. Even though we live in a very well-connected world, so sometimes as believers, authentic believers, we might find it challenging when we are in a secular environment. We might feel lonely, maybe in the workplace, maybe you are the only believer in Christ in that place, maybe in your little circle of friends, you might feel lonely sometimes. They might even say some things to just get you off. During those moments, let's remain faithful to God. And also, sometimes we might, you know, struggle with finding a work-life balance. I know this firsthand. You know, juggling our commitments to the church and our faith and our personal faith. Our responsibilities, what we want to do in the church, but we have some work commitments, and we think that if we've not done this, we've not contributed our own quota in the church, and we feel like we're not doing enough in the church, and sometimes we feel that, oh, I need to prioritize this against this. But don't just worry. God understands when you have some work commitments. When you have something on your table you need to, you know, take care of, even if it means you didn't come to fellowship, I know God understands. Even if it means you didn't do what you wanted to do for the church, I know God understands. And I was discussing with someone yesterday, the other day, during this week, and I'm saying that in this country, sometimes we are faced with moral dilemma. Very huge these days. Around the things like technology use, around the thing like environmental stewardship, around the thing like sexuality and marriage and gender issues, we can feel like we are in conflict all the time, trying to align our values with our daily choices, trying to live out our Christian life, sometimes against what it seems to be like against the flow. But God is faithful. Now, while in Britain there is generally respect for religious freedom, we don't have to face persecution, we are not killed, we don't, you know, physically, our lives are not in danger. But I like to say sometimes there is a subtle discrimination against some sincere believers, sometimes unconscious bias against you because of what you believe. Sometimes some mockery that will come, disguise themselves, but they are mocking you because of what you believe. Pressure to conform to societal norms. Pressure to conform and be like other people. God is faithful that even in those moments, that he will see us through. Praise God. He will see us through. And when we navigate our faith, let's choose trust in God over fear. And let's seek him first. Matthew 6:33, what does he say? Seek the Lord and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. But seek him first. Seek him first. So with all those things happening, seek him first. Let's trust him. Let's remember that he is faithful. Let's obey his words, even when it is countercultural. Let's hold on to the promises of God. So like Joseph's story, let's trust him. But let's know that it's not always going to be easy. But God is faithful. Let me close by saying this again. Everything that happens to you is part of his grand design. It is part of his grand design. For everything, there is a season. Ecclesiastes 3, right? For everything, there is a season. Everything happens for a reason. And he takes us through times and seasons for his own glory. I'd like us to pray for ourselves. Perhaps there is someone going through some difficult moments at this time, trials, temptations, obstacles in the workplace or around us. Perhaps there are things that you might not even share with people, but you know it's in here. It's like you're feeling disconnected from God. Let's pray that the Lord will walk with you during this moment. Lord, we pray for ourselves. Lord, we ask that you will be close to us. Help us, Lord, to remember you are always with us. Help us, Lord, when we are thrown to those difficult moments, Lord, that we will feel your presence. Father, I pray right now against every negative voice. For I know sometimes those voices tend to whisper to us to believe that the Lord is not with us. Lord, I pray against those negative voices right now. And I rebuke them in the name of Jesus the Christ. Lord, we ask that you will help us to feel your presence. I pray, Lord, for anyone that is feeling dry at this time, spiritual dryness. Lord, I ask that you will show yourself strong, Lord. I pray that you will send help in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, for anyone that is facing something that they cannot even explain at this time. Questions upon questions. Lord, I ask that you will answer from above and that you will show the way of your escape for him or her, Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray perhaps for someone who is sick in their physical body, Lord. We ask for healing, Lord. For we believe you that your promises, they are yes and they are amen. We know you will do what you say you will do in your word. Heavenly Father, we ask for healing right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray. Perhaps there are people, Lord, in their mental self, Lord, they need your healing. We pray, Lord, for mental health difficulties. We ask, Lord, that you will see us through at this time. Every difficult moment, Lord, we ask that you will show yourself, Lord, and your presence will be with us. And just like Joseph, we know that you will see us through. And at the end, your name alone will be lifted high. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we will trust and we will obey you. And it shall be unto us according to your word. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I have chosen a closing hymn.